so good. You know, I think Andrew and I probably love this Sunday as much as every other Sunday, but maybe just a little bit more. Well, it's a great pleasure to have some pastors in the house today. We have Dr. Richard Green with us. We also have David and Lynette Tobin all the way from Hamilton Hill. But isn't it great? Did you like seeing their faces up there? What a great, you know, they're great friends of C3 Fremantle. And they're always welcome. David, if you just ever want to walk your dog down here, that's okay. We understand. I know we need to pray for your dog, but we'll do that later. It's great to have Charlie and Helen in the house, isn't it? Susan Pitar, where's your husband today? He's around. But hey, thank you for doing that interview. Mr. Shane Elliott, trying to hide under the radar, but hey, great to have you back from Hong Kong just for our missions conference. He heads over to Melbourne tomorrow, but said, you know what, I can come for the weekend. Oh, what a guy. And he's going to be helping with Southeast Asia, and we'll be part of the oversight team when we go to Southeast Asia in January, right? Yeah, fantastic. So looking forward to that. But, you know, Pastor Richard Green, who is actually a doctor and doing another PhD, I found out last night. Oh, I don't know how you do it. But they run a fantastic church. If you're ever in Sydney, go to C3 Ride. Don't tell Pastor Phil I said that. But they specialise in multi-services. And Dr. Richard Green was instrumental in the early years in helping us get into the C3 movement. Who's glad they're part of C3? Anyone? It's great to be involved in something bigger than ourselves and have a bigger picture of our world. And in Perth, that's really important because we can be quite isolated. So it's great to have other people alongside us. Dr. Richard Green has also been a professional freelance musician, a teacher, and a small business owner. Richard loves fishing, particularly fly fishing. He loves theology.
That's good.
Yeah, it is good. And jazz music. He loves jazz. Richard has a wealth of ministry experience, and in particular is a strategist, an author, a leadership mentor, plus has an enormous heart for church planting, and of course, all things missions related. And so Dr. Richard Green loves the local church so much that he even thought, even though he has to go to the Gold Coast on Tuesday, that he'd come over here for our missions conference. Come on, I'd like us just one more time to stand to our feet and welcome Pastor Richard Green. Thank you, Richard. You are the man.
I wonder who you're talking about. Thank you. As I said last night, it's a great privilege to be in this church. For some of you weren't here last night, and I talked about Surely Not's. This is a Surely Not church. Surely not in Fremantle, right? Go the Dockers. I drove past your Port Care, and honestly, I went, the blood ran out of my head. Like, no, I'm talking honestly now. The blood ran out of my head because I'm a pastor. Is that better if I lift that closer so you don't have to push it? Sorry, I have a habit of doing that. I drove past your Port Care. I'm a pastor, and I think, I know how much effort is involved in trying to get something like that done. I drove past that, and I went, on the insides, I went, surely not, but in a more Aussie way. And I thought, oh, who's the poor sucker that has to run that? And there he was, Charlie, smiling his head off, And I'm looking at, and I want to say this to you just so, it's important, comparison is a killer. It'll kill you. But it is important to understand your difference. Okay, so, so there's a distinctive about this church. That Port Care is part of that distinctiveness and distinction. There would not be a larger community ministry in all of any C3 church in all of this nation. That's the truth. I was absolutely blown away. The thing that I was disappointed, though, the first thing I said to Charlie, is there any secondhand trumpets in there? You know what he said? Oh, we did have an accordion. The sort of thing an Italian would say, hey. Keep smiling, Luigi. But this is just a spectacular church because it's a church of normal people who love God passionately and who are actually trying to do something about the world. And your pastors are just magnificent. Nigel and Andrea are just, you know, they're the real deal. They really are the real deal. And it's not so easy in this unreal world to be real. It's not so easy in this world to not all be about hype, but also to be passionate. And you have got great pastors. Would you applaud your great pastors? Magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. And also I would like to do something too. Those of you who have been with this church from its beginnings or in the first 12 months, would you stand? Okay, have a look at that. That's gutsy stuff. Look, Jared's still here. He's still here. You poor thing. Can't even afford a proper pair of jeans. They've got rips in them. They're so thin, you know, he's already grown out of them. They're so tight. That's what he had when he was 12. Why don't you applaud that you're founding incredible, amazing, awesome, fabulous. Thanks, guys. Just magnificent. So thank you. And I am very privileged to be here. And I do have a passion for the church engaging beyond the church. But I want to start with giving you a question. And so I want you to think about something. So I'm going to need you to just to be quiet for a second. I'm going to ask a question, but you're going to have to listen to two things. You're going to have to listen to your heart, and you're going to have to listen to the Holy Spirit. The question relates to every area of your life. It's kind of two questions. So are you ready? What do you want, and what's in your hand? Why don't you close your eyes, and I want you to think, what do you want, and what is in your hand? What do you want in your family? What do you want in your marriage? What do you want in your neighborhood? What do you want in your church? What do you want in your nation? What do you want in the world? Listen to your heart. And listen to the Holy Spirit. What is in your hand? What's in your hand? I want you to remember that question. You can open your eyes now. But we've got to be passionate about really just working out what we really want. What's really important in life? I had a terrible year in 2002. I'd just come back from a missions trip. I got off a plane. I went straight to church, did one service, and then did a leaders' meeting, went home, went to bed. I was tired. And I woke 2 hours later as if somebody had put LSD in me. I was spinning. The room was spinning. White became purple. I couldn't hear, see, walk, talk. Couldn't tell the difference between hot and cold temperature, and I was like that for 9 months. I had a total breakdown. You know, they talk about the red line. You don't know where the red line is until you cross the red line. It's all very good. Oh, you be careful you're not near the red line. Well, where is that? I don't know where it is. Well, I do. Well, I'm not even sure if I know where it is now. I know where it is when you cross it. And part of it, my life was geared for serving God, and part of it was that. But, you know, I had not really worked out what I really wanted and what was in my hand. Now, this is about missions. God doesn't ask you to give what you don't have. He asks you to give what you do have. And you are called as a church to be a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. The problem with a living sacrifice is always trying to crawl off the altar. And so that battle to actually be alive is really important. And so I want to read to you, I want to say to you that whether you get what you want is determined by how you use what's in your hand. Let me say that again. What will determine what you want, whether you get what you want, is determined by how you use what's in your hand. And how you use what's in your hand is determined by three things: grace, faith, and sacrifice. But the order is very important. Grace. Everything you and I have comes because God is a God of grace. The very fact that you live in this incredible city called Perth and in Fremantle, you dogs. I mean, it's sensational here. I live in a crazy place called Sydney. But wherever you live, it's a gift. The clothes you have is a gift from God. Everything you have comes from God. It's grace, the fact that we believe in Christ. He took the initiative first. It's grace. So whatever you have has been given to you anyway. So it's grace. The second thing is faith. We actually, the gift that God has given us, we actually have to use in trusting Him. I have to trust Him with my time. I have to trust Him with my energy. I have to trust Him with my finances. I have to trust Him with it. Did you trust Him with it? Not trust me with it, but trust Him with it. Different focus. And of course, sacrifice. We've got the passage up there, or it was up there, and it sneaked off. It'll sneak back on. Romans 12:6 says this: we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. But you will note in that passage, it fundamentally says everybody has a different gift given to them by grace. You have a different setting, a different context, a different gift. And the way that you are meant to use what you're given is by faith, according to the proportion of your faith. Now, this is what happens sometimes. People hear stories like the story I shared last night about, and I said, don't do what I did. Don't, you know, God had put things in my heart. Now, this is post certain things. Because I had determined in my heart, what do I want? And you know, I shared the story that I had always longed and prayed that, Lord, I want to be the largest financial contributor in the church. And I thought, how on earth? That's an impossible thing because I'm not a businessman. I was a muso before I was a pastor. And you don't make money out of playing jazz, I can tell you. You know, like, and I'm thinking, how on earth is this ever going to happen? And we'd scrounged our way and were able to buy a house. And the Lord said, do you really want what you want? Yes, Lord. What's in your hand? Your own house that you spent all that time. Give it. Now, don't copy my faith. Does it make sense? But you've got to determine what's in your heart. What do you really want to do? C3 Fremantle, what do you really want to do? It's not dependent about Because God is a God of grace. He'll give you something, and then you've got to determine what you're going to do in your heart. Does that make sense? Grace, what you have is given by God. Now you have to use the proportion of your faith. Now, I told you the story. We gave that away, and we pumped it into the church and gave all that money. And I've got to tell you, I didn't tell you the whole story last night. Because when I heard, and I heard, and I went back to, and my wife is, she's strong, she's gutsy. And I said to my wife, this is what I think the Lord said, and she sobbed and wept. Now, my wife doesn't cry except every time she preaches. She cries every time when she preaches about Jesus. It annoys her. Vicky Simpson calls her the weeping prophet, and she hates it. She doesn't cry any other time, I can tell you. She's the eldest of eight, a country girl. She's flipping scary. And she cried and sobbed and cried in such a way that I thought, I've just gone too far. Do you know? Like, it's okay to hear wild things for yourself, but it has an effect on others. But she, that's right, let's do it. Now, we went 5 years without a house. We're living in Sydney. It's crazy. And then we had the miracle of that phone call and the 230. You know, we prayed that crazy prayer, Lord, we trust you. But we're tired, and we don't have anywhere for our family. So let me show you the miracle house, the $230,000 that was given to us to buy this house. This is the first photo. That's our house in Sydney. Our little old house, which we've lived in since that time. We're now 17 years. We will live and grow old in that house because that is a gift from God for us. We live on a six-lane highway. We have 57,000 cars past our front door every day, which I get to pray for. True. And when I'm done and dusted, we'll sell it and downsize. And I just say, Lord, can I live in the country where there's trees and a creek with trout? And I reckon he'll do it. But I've got to tell you, some people are not happy with something like that. They want something else. We're happy because we know what we want in our heart. It's not a judgment on others who, you know, I celebrate when people got flash houses and great things. I think that's awesome. I really do. But, you know, I'd probably like to live in a bit of a quieter place. My kids love it. Our dog loves it. Got plenty of things to bark at, you know. But what I'm saying to you is really important in something like this. You've got to know what you want in your heart. Because if you know what you want in your heart, then you'll be happy with what happens. And God loves a cheerful giver. So, I want to pray. I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray for every person here in this incredible church that's already done so much. This church punches way above its weight. Way, way above its weight. In fact, it's like a beacon on a hill, a lighthouse. Lord, and it's not because this church is trying to prove something to others. It's just because it has a heart for people and the nations and the poor. And Lord, I know that your word says that whoever lends to the poor lends to the Lord. So there is no greater return. He's the best banker. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each person that understand what is in there, what they want, and what's in their hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you might think, oh, well, you know, he's got great faith. He's a pastor and I don't have that level of faith. Or you might excuse yourself. Well, my level of faith is very low. It's grace, faith, and sacrifice. You all can sacrifice. Every single one of you should be giving to missions. Every single one of you should be tithing. And you shouldn't be taking your offering for missions out of your tithe, by the way, because the Bible says they're different. There are three types of giving in the Bible. It's very, very clear. The first is tithe. It belongs to the Lord. It's not actually about meeting needs. It's about you acknowledging and honoring God. The second is offerings. And offerings are that which extend the kingdom of God. It says in the Bible, whoever offers thank offerings honors me, and I will show him the salvation of my hand. Wherever there is a church that is big in giving offerings, you'll find that they're doing a lot to see the lost saved. There's been sociological studies done on it. The third type of giving is called gleaning. Now, what gleaning is giving to the poor. Israel used to say, the Lord said to Israel, when you reap your fields, don't reap to the very edges. When you pick your trees, don't pick all the fruit, leave some left, so that the poor can have those bits. The wealthiest football teams in South Australia, originally come from South Australia, are not the city teams, they're the regional rural teams. You know why they're wealthy? Because they still have a concept of gleaning. They don't know that it's gleaning, they just do. What they do is they sow the verges, they sow the edges of the fields, they sow the council the ground, and then they reap it, and then they take the wheat and the grain that they've done off free land, and they put that back into the clubs. Do you know what gleaning is? Gleaning is your $2 coins, your gold coins. It's all your leftovers that you don't think as much, but it's everything for people. And you would be surprised how much money you have at gleaning. My little daughter, many, many years ago, when she was 5 years old, I think she was about five, we have our big thing, and it's called Build to Reach. And she comes forward with her little commitment card. And she says, I've worked out what I'm going to commit for the next 12 months at $62. And I went, what, $62? That'll be a miracle. You know, why? Because we don't give our kids pocket money. And I think, we were encouraged, that's awesome. Thinking we're going to pay the $62, right? Yeah, okay. In 12 months' time, we got to the morning of bringing in our commitments. She got up in the morning with this big envelope, lumpy envelope. She said, I'm so excited today. I've got my $62. And we thought, where did you get that from? Now, we didn't say it that way. We said, wow, that's good. $62. How'd you get the $62? She said, ground money. We said, what? Ground money? Yeah, ground money. She said, for 12 months, she's been walking on the street looking for every coin she could find and picking it up and picking up and picking it up. And by the time she got to the 12 months, she had $62 exactly. What was in her hand? Everybody else's loose change. Everybody. So there's tithing, that's for the glory of God. There's offerings which advance the kingdom, which are doing now. And there's also gleaning, which is for the poor. And we have plenty of opportunity to give. You've got more opportunity to give than you would imagine. Let me just throw a few things out to you. I haven't even got onto my message. Sorry. If you were to give up one coffee a day for a year, that's $1,270 at $3.50. You can easily do that. Oh, well, you can give more than $1,200. The average Australian family of four spends $72 per week on a takeaway meal. That's an ABS statistic. That's $3,700 on junk. You don't need a gym fee. $3,700. Let's just take half of it. Have one takeaway meal, not two. You got $1,500 there to give to somebody who's living on less than $2. I don't want to make you feel guilty. I just want to make you see that you can do this. The average individual spends $1,200. Sorry, not $1,200. Well, some of you probably do. $112 per month on clothes. That's $1,340. Instead of buying G-Star jeans, go to Kmart and buy the same make of jeans made in Bangladesh sweatshop that just doesn't have the tag on it. The average individual spends $89 a month on entertainment. Go to Bali and get a few of those pirated ones instead. No, I'm kidding. Not really. No. What I'm saying is it is possible for every single person in this room and in this church to actually give. And here's the question. How can you live in a world where you're privileged? Now this is, mate, is an ouch. How can you look into the eyes of the world and be a Christian and not give? At least something. My goodness, instead of buying that Nike pair of shoes at $200 or $220 a pair, go and buy a Kmart pair at $20 and just take the gap and give it away. Did you know what I mean? Like, they're only flipping shoes. There are so many opportunities. So what I say, you have to work out what really is in your heart and what you want. Do you really want to do something significant for the world? Do you really want to live a significant life? Or do you want to be consumed by materialism? You've got to work out what you want to do. And don't think you can change the world by going on YouTube or whatever and doing cloud funding and all that rubbish, where you want everybody else to give you money for your idea. Like, let's actually change the jolly world. And actually, this is a church that's already doing it, but I want to stir some of you that maybe you think, okay. And I'm unapologetic about it because my life has been enriched. I have got 4 magnificent children, absolutely outstanding, magnificent children. They all serve God. My son and my daughters, the three eldest, have already done multiple missions trips. Not because I wanted them to, because they wanted to. They are fun, they are alive, they are healthy, they've got dreams for their future, and I've got to say that's the greatest blessing in the whole wide world. I'm a happy man. Just give me a breadstick and salami and that's it. I would rather have a boiled egg and toast with great friends than eat at a 5-star restaurant with strangers. So we've got to work out what we want and then what's in our hand. Now, I want to read a passage to you because this is a story, and I'm going to take it from a different angle. It's the story of 2 Kings 4, verse 1. And you will have heard this story about the woman and the prophet. And I'll read it to you. 2 Kings 4, 1. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. Okay, I just want to pause there for a second. I want you to think about something. He was a member of the company of the prophets, and he revered the Lord. The prophets existed and survived off the giving of people. This woman will have experienced already giving. And giving to God. And guess what's happened? What, Lord? We've given, we've supported. My husband loved, he did this, he was a missionary, he sacrificed this, and he's died. Some of you might feel like that. We've done this and done this and done this, and where's the jolly return? I don't know if you've ever thought about it. And then she says, but now, after all that, his creditors are coming to take my 2 boys as slaves. After everything we've done. And Elijah replies to her, and I want you to watch this and listen to it very carefully. Elisha, the prophet, he's a prophet. He already knows. God already knows, but he asks you a question. The prophet knows the circumstance. He already knows. God knows your circumstance, but he asks you this question. And this is the question. How can I help you? Let me put it another way. What do you want? He already knows what you want, but he asks you what you want. And before she gets a chance to answer the question. So the prophet says, what do you want? She's about ready to answer, and before she can answer, he's already speaking. How can I help? What do you want? Tell me what's in your hand. She didn't even get a chance to actually respond. That's what God does to us. He says, what do you want? And you're about to say what you want. And before you've said what you want, he's asked you another question. What's in your hand? What do you want? What's in your hand? Because actually what you want and what's in your hand are all tied up together. Because actually you'll get what you want depending on what's in your hand and how you use what's in your hand. Your servant has nothing there at all. Just a little oil. So Elisha goes around. It says, go around and ask all your neighbors for the empty jars. Don't ask just for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into the jars. And as each jar is full, put it aside. She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her sons, bring me another one. They replied, there's no jars left. And the oil stopped. And she went and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Do you know what's in your heart, what you want, and what's in your hand, and how you use that will actually be to the benefit of others? Who was at risk here? Who was she concerned about? Her sons. Who were going to live beyond her? Her sons. Who were not going to go into slavery? Her sons. Who were going to live free? Her sons. What's in your hand and how you use it will stop people in Liberia ending up being bought into something, remaining in a situation where they can't move and they will be free. Your giving will actually release a miracle for somebody else. And do not despise the little. Grace is what God gives you. Faith is you trusting in what he gives you, and sacrifice is you being willing to let it go. Let me show you a couple photos. These are just a few photos of things that have come to my life. This couple, they're in Erbil, Iraq, right next to where Mosul was. Everyone was slaughtered. She is 24. That's a little baby. Of course it's a little baby. That's Maloth, her husband. Maloth is well educated, so well educated, he could leave Erbil and Iraq now. He could earn $1 squillion because he's a high-level engineer. He was making money in the oil fields. But he says, we will not leave our land. We don't have much, but we're going to take what God has put in our hands and we're going to use it, and we are staying put. Let me show you another one. Our giving in our church makes that possible. Here's C3 Baghdad. I can remember being at conferences where we used to joke, one day we'll have C3 Baghdad too. Well, we've jolly well got it now. And it came out of a simple thing of, in our heart, what do we want? We want to actually reach the world where it's spiritually hard. And that was just in our heart. And the Lord said, what's in your hand? Well, we'll do what's in our hand. And one thing leads to another. And here is Farid baptizing a convert only 2 weeks ago in Baghdad. You have stories like that. And your giving is actually leading to the producing of oil for the sake of others. Let me just show you another one. This is Rafi. Rafi is 21 years old. By a certain set of circumstances, I end up in strange places. I was in Beirut for quite a bit of time and blah, blah, blah. And met this young man. And I thought, this young man is gold. So I thought I need to get him to our church so he gets a bit of us in him. I thought, we need to get him baptized, filled with the Spirit, really on fire for God. So we brought him out. We paid for him to come out. We paid for his education. We paid for all of his living expenses for 12 months. He went back to Beirut. Praise be to God, because he has a heart for his nation. He's not trying to leave his nation. He's trying to go back and change it. He came to us having never led anybody to Jesus, but wanting to. When he came with us after 12 months, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We sent him back, speaking in tongues, prophesying. He has now started 91 Connect groups in 12 months. He had nothing but a desire in his heart to change his world. Lord, this is what I want. What's in my hand? I'll give up my job that he had. Let me show you another one. And this is so precious. I want to say to you that you are going to do stuff that maybe in this life you won't get the blessing that I've had or the benefit that I have, but in heaven you will. There'll be 1,000 people that will come running to you and say, hey, I'm here because of what you did. What did we do? You gave. What? And look, this is my mother and my father and my daughter and my grandkids. And they were going to come over and they were going to speak in a different language. You won't understand what they're saying. They're going to bring over strange food and try to put funny things on you. And you have to wear things and dance and do things and, you know, whatever. And you're going to love it. That's my son. Many years ago, within the first week of us starting our church, there was hardly anyone there. We had this, another surely not. We've got to do something about the poor. And so I started with what was in my heart and what was in my hand. What was in our hand? We had a New Guinea person in our church who had an idea about something small. It was very small. It ended up becoming really big. But small things are like that. Get ready, church. This church has to grow and it will grow. This church will actually release more funds because it has to release more funds. Why? Because in your heart, that's what you want. You want to change the world. You don't want to just be like a normal old AFL team. You want to be like the Frio Dockers. Sorry, Eagles. But really, after all, Jesus came from a place that the people didn't like either. But this, I'm being too cryptic now, but here's my son, who at that stage was 18. And he said, Dad, I have to show you this photo. He said, you'll never guess who I met. I said, who did you meet? I said, I met this guy. I said, I don't know who that guy is. He says, well, let me tell you what his name is. So what's his name? His name is Pastor Richard Green. That's his first name. It's Pastor Richard Green is his first name. I had no idea, and he's not my love child, right? But what I'm saying is that his family was so impacted by something that we had done and thought that I was somehow responsible for it, but it wasn't me. It was our whole church. It was a group of people, and so profound they named him that. My son. Look at my son. He said, it was the weirdest experience I had in my life. But he said it was one of the most beautiful things in my life. I've got to tell you, my friends, I'd give up any house for that sort of experience. Because that's eternity. I mean, surely that's better than a coffee a day. Do you know what I mean? What's in your heart? What do you want? What's in your hand? The prophet said to the woman who had served God, had given. What do you really want? And before she could answer, I want my kids to survive. I want my kids to flourish. Do you know what God wants? He wants all of his kids around the planet to flourish. And what he wants us to do is ask with great passion. This is what I want, Lord. I tell you why, this little brown duck is alive. I'm going hammer and tong to see people reach for Jesus. And I know you're like that too. And I've got to tell you, sometimes maybe I push a bit too hard. But I tell you, we've got one life. We might as well have a crack at it, eh? let's have a go at doing something. And that's what I love about this church. And as you get yourself ready to give, come with what you really want in your heart. But as soon as you say, Lord, this is what I want in my heart, he's going to ask you what's in your hand. Now let me put it down real practical. If you really want your marriage to fly, the Lord's going to say, what's in your hand? Or he might say, actually, what's on your face? Smile at your wife. He might say, actually, what's in your hand is actually two ears. Listen to your wife. He might say, you might say, my business. I want my business. He'll say, what's in your hand? It's not going to be a brown paper bag out of the sky. You actually have to take a step. And remember that the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was not a miracle of provision. It was a miracle of multiplication. He will take the little that you've got and he will multiply it for the benefit of others. And guess what happens? The others get fed. There's 12 baskets left over. Can you imagine that little boy? Oh, I caught, you know, a few fish, Mum. Or how many? Oh, I've got 12 baskets full of them. You got it? So Jesus, I pray that you would open the hearts of every single member of this church. And those that have already given, bless them abundantly. Multiply what they have done. Let them know that as they give, there's a miracle that's been released to others. There are children being fed. There's kids drinking clean water. There's churches being planted. There's the nations are changing. Lord, the atmosphere around the world is actually moving. The world is becoming a better place because of C3 Fremantle and its absolute awesome people. Jesus, I pray that you would do more, far more than this church could ever dream or imagine. Get ready, C3 Fremantle. Are you ready?
Yes.
Only three of you. Are you ready, Fremantle?
Yes.
Are you really ready?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What do you want? What do you want? Change the world for Jesus. I want you to think about what you want. So what's in your hand? Not what's in the other person's hand. What's in your hand? And so, Jesus, I pray, as you move the heart, and touch the heart, the head would move in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Why didn't you give the Lord a clap this morning? I'm going to hand over to your pastor.
Isn't it great to be involved in something bigger than ourselves? We're making an impact. And I'd just like us to go to the PowerPoints, the faith promise cards, please. Maybe you're still thinking about it. There's a card on your seat. If you need a pen for your card, please just raise your hand and someone will give you a pen right now. If you need a pen, because we want to be ready for this. So please just wave your hand so the ushers can see you. That'd be fantastic. I want to say today that this faith promise card, if we go to the other side of the card, thank you, Pastor Richard, just for speaking your heart today. I'm actually feeling a little bit emotional. And I guess it's because I'm grateful for the privilege of being involved in something greater than myself. The purpose of Christ. And the church is to go and to give. And God has left us to make a difference. And I know in some ways just repeating what Richard said, but whoever you are here today, look at me. Whoever you are here today, you may be young, you may be a solo mum, You might be a pensioner. You might be a uni student. You might be still at school. You could be retired, whatever that word means these days. God has left you to make a difference. So whether you can know that you can afford a dollar a week, I don't think there's anybody in this room that couldn't afford a dollar a week, if the truth be known. What a difference is that going to make if all those dollar a weeks from all our younger people or those at university, whatever, some of you can afford more than that at university. See, equal sacrifice. And all of us can give something and be a part of something greater than ourselves. And so we must ask these three questions about our faith promise card. First of all, does everyone have a card? Just give me a yes. Does everyone have a card? I know some of you gave last night. You know, Andrew and I were quite moved by what Pastor Richard Green said last night, and so we're going to put a second card in. I said we're going to put a second card in today because we're feeling like God's moved us from what the last night to this morning. I want to be obedient, first of all, to what God puts in my heart. What's in my head. And so we're going to do that. But there may be others here that would like to do that. Or you had, just put it in and we'll just add it to your other one. No problem at all. And so we know what we can give. And we're incredibly blessed to live in Australia. Because even if we're on the dole, we get more than the poorest people in the rest of the world. And so we're really rich already. The second question we need to ask is, what could I give up? Which Pastor Richard's also described today. We can give up destination holidays or shopping or the coffees. I saved myself about $1,200 a year, definitely, just by not having a coffee a day. And so what could we give up? And lastly, the most important one, I believe, is what can I believe God for? What could I believe God for? And the Bible's clear. Faith pleases God. God cares for us. He doesn't want us to suffer through life. He looks out for us. And a faith promise. I don't know about you, but I'm just so grateful that we have faith promises. That we can be involved in the kingdom of God for a whole next 12 months and we just repeat the program. And every year it seems to get increase, multiply. And so a faith promise is being a good steward of what God has put in your hand and then adding faith to it. Through good budgeting and then just adding faith. What a blessing it is to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's risen. You know, it's like me as a dad with kids. If I know my kids can do something without my help, then they need to do it themselves. That's good parenting, right? And that is how they grow up. But as a parent, you see what they can't do themselves, and that's when you help them. God is the same way. He will do what we can't. So what could I give? What could I give up? And what could I believe God for? Bow our heads for a moment. Father, I pray that we would bring an offering, Lord, that is worthy of the call of God on our lives, that we would be your disciples and make a difference throughout our world over this coming 12 months, that we would fulfill this promise, that it won't be half-hearted because we want to see your kingdom come. Wherever we are establishing new works. And I thank you, Lord, that we stepped out again and said we're going to help other areas. And I thank you we're going to meet every need in the mighty name of Jesus. The people of God said, amen. So we have here, we're going to turn the house lights up a bit, please, guys. We have here a basket. And what I would like us to do.